EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is
dispatch.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Florida is our destination tonight to meet Michael, and Michael will be sharing his experiences of physical and telepathic contact with interdimensional extraterrestrials. Michael up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Queensland in Australia.
Yes. Beautiful Queensland.
Beautiful Queensland indeed. We've got a lot of listeners that way. Now, Michael, you have some experiences to share with us involving physical and telepathic contact with ETs. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yes, thank you. So, you know, as a little kid, I'm going to go back a little bit because it'll come together later. But as a little kid and up into my adulthood, I had a lot of supernatural experiences, some of which didn't make any sense to me at all. And later on in this, when I tie some things together, it will. And it's I guess I want people to know that because my experience of extraterrestrials is far broader than maybe what a lot of people might have, you know, seen on movies or heard about. And hopefully I'll be able to explain in depth through my experiences what I think that might be. But I wanted people to understand that this is, for me, has been more than just a strange experience. It's been an absolutely, not only a life-changing experience that continues, you know, right up until this very moment, but it ties together all of, you know, my spiritual experiences throughout my life up until this point. I'm 59 years old, and I started out as a very religious kid, you know, and was going to go to college to become a minister. I ended up walking away from all of that, but I became very involved in esoteric spirituality, qigong, meditation, kundalini yoga, lots of other esoteric stuff, which I teach. But when it came to aliens, I didn't really think they existed. You know, I liked the idea of it. And, you know, being as old as I am, my exposure to aliens was the movies, you know, like Whitley Strieber's movie and Fire in the Sky, those kinds of things, where, you know, the typical gray aliens are abducting people and taking them into ships and frightening the hell out of them and doing experiments on them and all of that. That was my understanding of aliens. So I never really believed in it. And up until probably, well, up until my experiences, but up until like the middle of what was going on in the pandemic, if you had asked me about, you know, do aliens exist, I would say, I'm sure they do. But, you know, it's scientifically impossible because they're so far away. Even if they were traveling at the speed of light, they're not going to get to Earth. It's just not possible. And so I wrote that off. And that actually made me comfortable because I could understand it. And during all of the stuff that was going on during the pandemic, I started having this very strange feeling that there was more to what was happening in our Earth than I could put my finger on. And I started thinking more and more about extraterrestrials and did they have something to do with all of the seemingly inexplainable stuff that was going on in the world. And so I started doing some research into aliens and UFOs. And I became afraid again. I started, all the stories came up about abductions and experimentations, and found myself getting more and more frightened about it. But I couldn't shake it. And after doing some research, I came across Dr. Stephen Greer's work, who, in the past, I had written him off as a nutcase because I didn't believe in any of it, and I thought he was just, you know, looking for attention or whatever. I judged him in whatever way I judged him. But this time I watched his movie, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And I got a different idea of what aliens and ETs were based on that movie. And if any of your listeners haven't seen it, I strongly recommend it. It's an extremely entertaining, at the very least, movie. But I think it's also very informative. So I saw him claiming to have these interactions with these highly spiritual beings that were multidimensional and operating from different dimensions, and that they were highly spiritual. And so the spirit, you know, the spiritual seeker in me got really interested in maybe ETs can teach me deeper, more powerful meditations. And I actually felt guilty, like I'm being greedy. Looking back on it now, it was silly. But back then, I was like, I shouldn't be thinking like this. But I said, if I can make contact with the beings he's talking about, I think that I could really expand my spiritual experiences. And so I made the decision that, yeah, this is scary. And the thought of, you know, being abducted by an alien or having them find out where I am, that was frightening to me. But I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes if the payoff is what I think it is. So I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make this work. And I did something I don't necessarily recommend. I started doing CE5 by myself, which is Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is human initiated contact with extraterrestrials. It's a very simple protocol. If anybody wants to look it up, they can. I'm sure I'll probably talk about it a little bit in here. But I decided to do it by myself, and I went down to the beach. I was in Florida at the time, and I went down to the beach at night, and I set everything up, and I brought my cell phone video camera, and I put it on a tripod, and I put it over where my chair was, so in case anything happened to me, you'd be able to see it. I expected that some ships were going to appear over the ocean because I'd seen a lot of that happen, you know, in Dr. Greer's movie, that happens a few times. I thought that's what was going to happen to me. I went ahead and did it, and I meditated and did the protocol, which the short version is you get yourself in a meditative state. You imagine yourself going out into space, and you simply send out the mental invitation. Is there anybody out here who would like to interact with me? And for some people, I didn't do this, but if some people have fears of anything negative, you can say something like, Are there any beings out there who love me and have my best interest, who would like to interact with me? And so I did that. And I had this kind of fantasy start of unfolding in my head that some beings were going to come. But I'm a very rational person. So I didn't really put any stock in it. So I continued to do that. And one of the things you do in CE5 is they use ham radios, the handheld wireless, you know, walkie-talkie radios. And I had these recordings of these tones that are recommended. And the idea is, which I found is not the case, but I'll explain why it's important to do this way. But the idea that you're given is that the aliens are flying around in their ships and they need to find out where you are. And so if you broadcast onto your radio some tones or something like that, then they can hone in on you and find you. So I was doing that. I was, you know, playing the tones and broadcasting them through the handheld radio. And what you're waiting for is at some point the ETs will take over your radio and make it do things that are impossible. It'll start making all kinds of noises that are impossible to make. So you wait around for that. So sure enough, after I'm meditating and I'm broadcasting it, sure enough, the radio makes this squawking sound and really frightened me because it didn't, you know, it's just when it happens, it's, you know, something unusual at the very least, but very likely, you know, paranormal is happening. And so I said, is anybody there? And I didn't hear anything. But afterwards, when I went over the cell phone footage, by then it was so dark I couldn't see anything. You can only hear it. And if anybody wants to, they can. I'll talk about it at the end where you can find the video. I have it on a YouTube video where people can look at. But on that, when I was playing it back, and the radio squawked, and then I said, "Are you here?" And I didn't hear anything, but on the audio, you can hear a voice, which sounds a lot like my voice, but a little deeper, say, yes. And then I said something about, I'm a little scared. I don't know what's going on. And I started gaslighting myself out of it because it's really easy to do that. And it probably because it made me feel safer. Started thinking, you know, that was just a fluke. But then these lights appeared down on the beach and doing really strange things and flying in strange formations, but they weren't way up in the sky. They were, at ground level. And it wasn't like there weren't other people on the beach. So it could have been somebody with flashlights, but if they were, they would have had to have been, you know, floating in the air. And I don't know what. It would have been very, very difficult to make those kinds of designs that those lights were making. And then I gaslit myself out of it and said, I don't think that's anything. And I laid down on my beach chair and I was looking up at the sky again, hoping to see something. All the while this is going on, I should tell you, while all this is going on, I'm having these what seem like little fantasies going on in my head. Even before the radio went off, as I was meditating, I had this feeling that there were these three people behind me to my left who were watching me meditate with great interest and seemed to really enjoy it. And all the while this is going on and I'm wondering what's going on, I'm having this fantasy that I'm interacting with some intelligence, but it's happening within my own mind. And so, of course, I just, as anybody would, I pass it off as my imagination. And then as I, again, looked afterwards, I looked at the footage, you see a light that is, you can't tell by looking at it because it's completely dark. And I think some people thought I had it up in the sky and they think it's a UFO, but it's not. It's pointed directly over my body. And what you're seeing is this small light that's flying around over me, over my body as I'm lying there. Of course, I didn't see a thing. But looking at it, it's like, what the heck is that? And again, I said, you know, I don't know what that is. I don't know what, you know, what kind of insect would do that, you know, glow like that. But I guess let myself out of it. And I said, I just have to assume that nothing happened. But it had a pretty strong effect on me. So I went home and I spent a few days gaslighting myself out of it and feeling sad and saying, you know, I really need to prove to myself whether this exists or not. So I went out a second time. And the second time did the same thing, and I meditated. And I had this experience that I went to this planet in my meditation with these people I called moon people. I don't know why I call them that. But it was this planet that seemed very bright. And the people on it, they were all short people. They were bald. They had very pale skin, and they all wore turtlenecks. It was really, I don't know what that was about. But they were extremely happy to see me, and they were very welcoming. And again, this is all sort of happening in my mind. It feels like I'm having this, you know, fantasy, but I'm just letting it happen. And I say to them, hey, do you guys want to come and visit me? And they said, we would love to, but we can't this time. We can't reach you. You're too guarded. And so that was a little depressing. But again, I gaslit myself out of it, said, you know, I'm just imagining it. And I packed everything up and I started going back to my car. And as I'm going back to my car, this armadillo comes out of the bushes and is like walking in front of me. Now, armadillos, they're blind, but he was like almost walking into my feet and I couldn't get away from him. So I'm stamping my feet to get this armadillo, you know, to run away. So he finally runs away into the bushes. And I think to myself, I hope that little guy doesn't get run over. And I drive out of the parking lot. And sure enough, he jumps out in front of my car like he's trying to get run over. And, you know, I flashed the lights and honked the horn and he went back in the bushes. And I again said to myself, I hope that little guy doesn't get run over. And I had this feeling that there's a message in that. I didn't know what the heck that would be. And the next day I was driving down that street and sure enough, somebody had run over that little guy and cracked him wide open. And, you know, armadillos have those plates and it's like somebody took a crowbar and just cracked open his plates and, you know, his insides were all over the road. My apologies for the visual, but I said, that doesn't look like a good sign, you know, and I had this feeling, this is a sign. You need to take notice of this. So a few days later, I said, this is it. I'm going to try one last time. I'm absolutely going to do whatever I can to make contact. And this time I stayed in my house and I got this on video if anybody wants to see it. And had my cameras rolling and I had, you know, those little micro cassette recorders. I had that in my pocket. And I went ahead and did the same thing and I meditated and this time, as I went out of Earth's atmosphere in my meditation and said, is there anybody out there? This red orb comes shooting into my field of vision. There was one thing I forgot to say, which was that when I was talking to those moon people and I said, do you want to come visit me? And they said, no, we can't. You're too guarded. We can't get to you. They said, we're going to have to bring in the big guns. We're going to have to find somebody that can crack you open. So I forgot to say that, but that was why the armadillo seemed so important to me at the time. In any case, by this time I had gaslit myself out of all of that. And I'm having this nice little fantasy in my head the third time I'm doing this. And this giant red orb comes flying at me out in space. And so I say, can I come aboard? And they say, yes. And so I imagine my energy body going inside this red orb and I see what looks to be, and again, I want to be clear about this. I don't have really clear visuals when I'm meditating. I'm sort of like Braille, you know, I'm like sort of feeling my way around and I'll see dimly, you know, so it wasn't that big of an experience, but I could have swore that I was seeing these, what looked like 7-foot tall mantis beings, you know, all crowded around over me. And that was kind of a shock, but he said, I'm your brother. He said he was my brother. I didn't know what that meant. And I said, would you like to come and interact with me where I live on Earth? And he said, yes. And I said, great, follow me. And I, in my mind, I imagined that I was shooting through space, flying back to Earth. And I imagined, you know, coming back to my home. Again, it's really important. This vectoring process is extremely important, not because I've come to find out that extraterrestrials need it. It's important for humans, and I'll explain why that is. But it's actually absolutely essential that humans go through this process and be very clear about it. And I'll explain why in a little bit. So I'm vectoring them back to my home, and I imagine myself coming back down through the atmosphere. I give them the address, you know, everything, where they can find me, and I come back into my body, and then I wait. I do the same thing that I did, the first couple times, is I wait and I meditate and I invite them. And I imagine myself, after a few minutes, I went back up into orbit and I said, are you guys there? And I got this message, yes, we're on our way. And they were extremely excited. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. But I have no idea if it's true or not at this time. And so I come back into my body, and I've noticed something that seems to happen almost every time, not so much now. It's a whole different process now. But in the beginning, then, when I was vectoring them to me, I'd start to have this feeling of, you know, I think maybe they're not going to show up. And actually, that's almost a guaranteed sign that they are. As soon as I say, I don't think they're going to show up, that's when they show up. So I say that to myself and I go, I think maybe he's not going to show up. And right after I say that, I feel, I swear it felt like something beamed down from the Starship Enterprise. Again, behind me to my left, I felt this energy, you know, and it sounded like, you know, in my whole energy body. And I felt this very strong energy. And for some reason, I got the image of the color red, a ruby red, electric ruby red color. And then I felt this very warm, pleasant, but powerful energy in my heart center. And I remember looking at the camera, giving it the thumbs up, going, oh, maybe they've arrived. But because I don't understand these beings and what they're doing, I'm, you know, expecting what's going to happen in the movie. So I'm looking up in the sky to see if there's a ship, to see if there's a light. You know, I'm kind of scared. I don't know what to expect. And then again, I'm wondering, maybe they didn't find me. So I start broadcasting into my radio, the tones into my my wireless ham radio. And I do that a couple of times. And then the radio goes and it starts making all this noise. And it was a really powerful, you know, it wasn't first couple of times. They just sort of went, you know, like, we're here, you know, like kind of shy. This one was like huge, and my radio was making all kinds of noise, and there was no mistaking it. And I was, again, frightened out of my gourd, because now the fantasy of this, you know, this meditative fantasy of 7-foot mantis beings now is a possible reality. And so, you know, what I've come to find out is that we have two brains. If people are like me, we have like our internal meditative brain, which maybe could be our right brain. And it's, you know, we don't really take it that seriously. We enjoy it. It's where we get our inspiration from, but you know, we never really pin it down to anything concrete. So this kind of brought both of these realities together. Like, oh my God, that thing that I was just fantasizing about is real. I just brought it into reality. And as soon as, you know, this is all happening in just a, you know, a nanosecond, but as soon as I experience that and the radio goes off, I feel what feels like an energetic finger on the top of my head. And all of this energy is going into my body. This Kundalini energy is just, you know, like jolts of energy are going through my body, and I'm freaking out. Not only that, but all of these emotions start coming up. Like all of my unconscious issues from, you know, from the beginning of my life are now, I'm conscious of all of my feelings. And it was very overwhelming. And I was starting to flip out. And I get this idea in my head. I think it's me. I get this thought in my head that says, let's go outside. You'll be more comfortable. So I was in what's called a Florida room. If anybody knows what that is, it's a room on the edge of the house in Florida that's just basically either windows or screens, so you can be outside and not get, you know, eaten by mosquitoes. So I exit the Florida room and I go out overlooking the water feature in the lake in the complex I was in, and I am really starting to flip out. I'm looking up in the sky, looking for ships. I'm not seeing anything. I can still feel this finger on my head, and wondering, is there an invisible 7-foot mantis being? I mean, I'm starting to flip out. And so I hear myself say, because of the abuse I endured from my older brother, I don't feel worthy of this interaction. Can you please help me to feel worthy? And the radio goes off unmistakably in direct response to my question. And of course, all the fear and all of the confusion, as well as all of these emotions, which, you know, I just heard myself say something that came out of, you know, from my childhood, and all of this is coming out, and I'm on the verge of, you know, tears. And, you know, I don't do that very well. I'm a wannabe tough guy. It's just not something we do. And I'm like on the verge of falling to my knees and crying. It was just overwhelming. And then I said, you know, then the radio calmed down, and I said, I'm really frightened. I need some comfort. I need you to comfort me. Again, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't talk like this normally. And again, the radio this time goes off and it won't stop. So the message is very clear. This being is giving me direct responses to my queries. And it's very clear this being is saying you are worthy, and it, you know, it is comforting. And then, you know, I'm about to jump out of my skin. And again, I get this thought, let's go walk down the street. So I go walking down the street, and the radio is going off the whole time. The whole time the radio won't stop. And I'm starting to dissociate, and I'm looking at the radio, and sure enough, I can see the green light, which says that something is transmitting to my radio. And radios don't, you know, those radios can't make those noises. You can't do, nobody else can on another radio make that noise come through the radio. So it's like you start to, it's really hard to talk myself out of this one. So many things are going on. And I don't know how long, I'm walking for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden the radio stops, just abruptly stops. And then I get this, by this time, my energy body has been cracked open, and I'm no longer gaslighting myself. I'm actually being able to tell the difference a little bit between my thoughts and these telepathic thoughts that are coming into me. And when I get to the end of this, I feel this thought come in and say, that's it for now. We'll see you soon. And then all of a sudden the fear leaves and I feel this peace come over me. Now, what I didn't tell you is that before I did this particular CE5, I did a rune reading. And one of the prominent runes that came through the reading was the rune Yuhuaj, which has a very specific look to it. It looks a lot like a lightning bolt, and it has to do with shamanic initiation, transformation at the highest level. And so I looked down on the sidewalk, and spray painted in red spray paint are 6 Yuhuaj runes. And then it all comes together. This was me getting cracked open. This was me having what I asked for, because I said, I'm going to go to whatever lengths I can to make connection if this is a real thing. And I didn't like that, because I know, you know, for me, the Yuhuaj rune means, you know, there's going to be a pretty big transformation coming and it might be challenging. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
After that experience, I came back home, and I don't know how long it took, but it wasn't long. It was, you know, as I'm going to bed, bear in mind, I'm frightened out of my gourd, and I'm coming into the house, and I'm saying, you know, wherever you are, don't come into my house. You know, don't abduct me. It's my house. You can't come in. And as I'm lying down to go to sleep, this image flashes in my mind like it was as if somebody, you know, took a slide projector and just in my mind put this very clear picture of that red orb, this lightning ruby red orb, but it was just sitting outside of my bedroom window. And that freaked me out so bad I had to go outside to look to see if it was there. It wasn't. But that message was very clear. It was that being was saying, I'm going to be here with you for a while, which he definitely was. He's only left me recently, and that was about a month ago. He left, and he stopped being my guide, and some other beings came and took his place. And I'll talk about that later. As we get to that, I don't know how long it was after that first experience, but I was pretty freaked out. But then what started happening was that these beings would show up in my room. Now, bear in mind, I can't see anything with my eyes, but I'd be lying there with my eyes closed, and you could feel in the room again this electromagnetic energy comes into the room that is unmistakable. And there's this feeling, and almost you can hear it. And it's like somebody's beaming directly into your room. And if I closed my eyes, I could see the outlines of what looks like these, you know, these light beings, like, you know, the outlines of, you know, people, but imagine they're made of light. And they would be in my room or walking around. And so many things happened. I haven't been able to chronicle all of them. I have written two books, and I've written down a lot of them. But so many of them, there was just so many, I couldn't keep track of all of them. And I'll try and focus on some of the most important ones. But the first thing that started happening was these beings. You know you're in the presence of a true extraterrestrial light being, and I'll explain that in a second too, because they speak to you in the most uplifting ways you can imagine. And they start to tell me who I am in a higher dimensional planes. And it is so grandiose. I mean, I there's a lot of things I haven't even publicly said because they're just so unbelievable. But they're so positive and so grandiose that, and again, when they speak to you, it's not like they're just talking in words, but there's energy and there are concepts that are being downloaded all at the same time. And so I'm getting these downloads that are, you know, destroying any negativity I have within me, like completely obliterating it. And not only that, not just saying, hey, we love you, you're a great guy, but telling me I'm, you know, this amazing creature in a higher dimensional existence. And you're, you know, here's what you're here to do, and telling me all these things about my purpose in on this world. And I start to really think I'm losing my mind. Because what happens right after that, you feel it and it's like a shock to the body. The energy that follows these communications, for me anyway, you know, it's like being hooked up to, and I'll try to explain the energy. It feels like an electric charge, but it's not electricity. It feels like magnetic, but it's not magnetic. And it feels like, for me, it centers in my heart, and it feels like a pressure. At first, I thought I was maybe having a heart attack. I thought maybe I was having some kind of a, you know, nervous breakdown. And I got used to understanding that this is not an energy coming from the third dimension. This is coming from a higher dimension. And once I understood that, it became a lot easier to understand. But then you start realizing that there is a being that exists on a higher dimension that is interacting with you. So to help understand this, there's some great videos on YouTube by physicists. And one is from the 70s. Again, I'm forgetting the guy's name. When I start talking like this, I start getting loopy. So Carl Sagan. So Carl Sagan in the 70s made a video that he called Flatland. At some point, he started talking about Flatland. And he said, here's what would happen if you as a three-dimensional being were to communicate with a two-dimensional being in Flatland. So in Flatland, there's no such thing as up or down. You know, there's just forward and backwards and left and right. And so you happen to see these beings in Flatland, and they think that they all have their little Flatland houses and they're completely by themselves. But you being in the third dimension, you can rise above and look down into everybody's house and see what everybody's doing. And so you decide to talk to one of these Flatland beings, and you say, hello, two-dimensional being. Now, the two-dimensional being, they don't hear an audible hello, greetings. What happens to them is that the greetings that you give them actually explodes from within them. And this is a very distressing experience for them, and they think they're losing their mind. And when I heard that, I mean, that helped me so much, because that's exactly what I experienced. I would feel this power that I could not explain, that was visceral, and at the same time, when it happened, my 3D brain would, you know, start to, you know, file not found. It wouldn't really know what to do with it. And then what would happen is a thought would explode within my mind, and it would be in my own voice, but it would be telling me something I've never thought of, or in ways I'd never thought of. It would be my way of speaking, you know, my vocabulary mostly. But it wasn't me at the same time. And so when you have that experience, you really do start to think you're crazy. At least I did. And so what would happen in these first experiences, I would have this undeniable experience. And then I would, as soon as it was over, my 3D mind would jump in and would say, I don't think that really happened. And so I'd start to say, I think I just imagined that. And then over the next sometimes few hours, it might only take a few hours, I would start to have this experience of being shifted and changed in ways I couldn't put my fingers on. And then I start to realize something's going on beyond my comprehension, and this is real. And then you not only feel crazy, but you feel all alone, because you're like, who's going to understand this? Nobody's going to understand this. So I'll go a little bit forward, because I could, you know, there were so many experiences. Basically, it went on day and night. They would show up during the day wherever I was, and I could hear them and feel them, even though I might be sitting down watching television or sitting in front of my computer, and I would be in these downloads and they would be communicating with me. And at night they would show up at all hours of the night, and I'd have dreams, and I'd be traveling to to distant places, and they'd be doing energy work on me. And what I saw in my mind was like this blue electric energy being put into my body. And it's blissful and amazing. And at the same time, I'm also flipping out and thinking I'm losing my mind. It was quite wonderful and extremely traumatic all at the same time. But I kept on asking for it, and I kept on saying, you know, I want this, whatever this is, I want it, and I want to take it as far as it can go. And I kept on asking for it and giving them permission to do it. I want to be clear about that, because if somebody's listening and they're afraid, understand the kind of person that I am, that this is, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I live for. So even though I'm telling you the truth, that I felt like I was losing my mind and I back and forth from being traumatized, this is the kind of stuff that I enjoy. And these beings will never do anything to violate your boundaries. They will never do anything that you do not want to experience. And everything they do share with you is only focused on your empowerment. That's extremely important. So it's not like they're, you know, sociopathically doing things to me, even though it might have been beyond my, you know, personal understanding or beyond where I've been before. Everything was extremely empowering for me. So the next thing I'll jump to is I decided to do another CE5. This time CE5 is just done from, you know, my bedroom, you know, in the afternoon. I found that the late afternoon into night is the best time to do it. Morning tends to be less, and I think that's because having to do with the electromagnetic things that go on as the sun is rising. So during, you know, when the sun rises, it sends a very powerful electromagnetic field over the earth, as I understand it. And so as you get into the afternoon, that wanes, and that makes it's easier for them to interact with us when the electromagnetic field is weaker. So I decided to do a CE5, and I thought, again, I think it's my idea, but looking back on it, I don't believe it was. But I think that at that time that I have this idea that I'm going to do a CE5, and I am going to interact with only the beings that have a karmic destiny with me. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think I'm going to meet some alien, you know, that knew me in a past life or something. So I do it, and sure enough, they show up, and again, I've got my eyes closed, and in my mind, I see what looks like a gray, your typical gray alien, and he shows up in astral form, and he says, I brought some people here with me who you need to talk to. And starting from my left side, it is my mother. My mother shows up. Now, my mother's dead. She's been dead for a while. And we have an interaction, and he heals a bunch of wounds. And then my father shows up. And each time a new person shows up, it's moving from left to right. And I may have the order off. I'm in my book, I have it in the correct order. But I may have the order off, but we'll just continue that way. So my father shows up. My father was a physicist. He actually worked in the space program and designed and put sets up into sky during the space race in the 60s. And he says to me, I've been holding on to something that you gave to me before we incarnated. We've been friends for many lifetimes, and you gave me a gift, and I used it, which helped me as a physicist. And he says, I'm giving it back to you because you need it now. And he gives me something. I don't know what it is. And then my sister shows up, and then my fiance who passed away, and I won't get into all of that, but basically lifetimes of karma gets peeled away. But after this experience with my dad, I start to understand the gift he was talking about, because then I'm no longer flipping out, because I'm understanding what's happening in interdimensional interactions. So I won't take the time to explain it, but I want to get to some really important stuff very quickly, which is where I believe we're going based on what my ET friends have told me. During all of this, I have this lucid dream. One night, I have a lucid dream, and in this lucid dream, I'm walking around in the mountains of Tibet, and it's really beautiful, and I become aware I'm in a lucid dream. And I'm walking around, and I see this temple, and there's a bunch of people in front of the temple, and there's They're waiting for something like a procession or something like that. And there's a bunch of looks like indigenous drummers there. And I'm, you know, I used to drum West African drumming. So I really like that. So I go to watch that. And as this is happening, I look up in the sky and I see this crucifix come out of the sky. It's like something is in the clouds. And I say to somebody, "What's in the clouds? Look at the clouds." And I think it's going to be a spaceship, but out comes this crucifix that's made of pewter. If anybody knows what pewter is, it's, you know, it's costume jewelry, really shiny, but really cheap. And it's made of pewter. And there's this crucifix with a Jesus on it, but the Jesus is only half a Jesus. It's like from the navel, he's coming out of the crucifix. And so he's only, you know, partly there. And everybody, when they see it, everybody goes, "Oh," and there's this big gasp. And then I think to myself, "Oh, the Christians were right. It's the second coming of Jesus." Ah, I was disappointed because I'm not a Christian anymore. And then all of a sudden, the Jesus opens his eyes, and in shock, he looks up in the sky above him, and he sees something that absolutely frightens him. And then I become aware that whatever is coming is even Jesus, you know, is going to be shocked by it. So I woke up from that dream and I came to the conclusion that there's going to be a worldwide event that everybody will see. It'll be in the sky and people will think it's the second coming of Jesus. And then very quickly, they'll realize that it's not. So I go on to my YouTube channel and I'm telling people about this and I have a live stream and I say, "I don't know, I've never heard anything about this. I wonder what it is." And I tell them that I went and did another CE5 and I talked to my ET friends and I said, "So what is going to happen in this, you know, this worldwide event? Is there going to be a fleet of spaceships that are going to come?" And the ET that I was communicating with said, "No, there's going to be a solar wave that will emanate from the sun and there will be a series of waves that will hit Earth. And it will completely change Earth and all of humanity will be changed. All of, you know, even the consciousness of life on Earth and the Earth itself will shift up because of these waves of love." And again, after that, I go, "That just sounds really hokey. I think I made that up." And so I go onto my live stream and I talk about it. And I said something about a solar wave. And somebody writes and says, "No, that's a thing. It's called the solar flash." And I did a bunch of research into that, and I'm like, "Holy crap." And even as I'm sitting here now, I'm feeling them jolt me. So that's something that's really important to understand, that according to them, and, you know, I'm like you, I will find out. But according to them, there is going to be a singular awakening event, which may be very soon. And it will hit the entire Earth and it will completely shift everything on Earth, everybody's awareness. After this, again, there's a bunch of other things that I won't take up the time. I know I've been talking a long time, but I'm going to get to probably the most profound event that I've had so far. And that is one day. Well, let me give you one other one before that. So one day I'm lying on the couch and I'm watching television. And my red orb friend shows up. It's either him or somebody even more powerful than him. And I feel the somebody, you know, beams into my living room. And this huge wave of energy goes through my body. And this telepathic message hits me and says, "You are a probability." Now, I know a little bit about quantum physics, and I know that, you know, everything is possible and that, you know, in other dimensions that, you know, there isn't a fixed reality. There's a bunch of possibilities and, you know, 3D reality is really sort of a concretization of, you know, a possibility. So I say, "Do you mean that there's infinite possibilities?" And again, the same thing, "You are a probability." And this message was repeated over and over and over with huge amounts of energy coming into me. And so I said, "This must be pretty important." And I kept on meditating about it. And after meditating and researching and more communication, I'm going to give to you what I think the message was. And again, I'm getting a jolt telling me this is important. that it's really important that we understand that this 3D reality we experience is merely a memory. So our 3D brains really are just chronometers that record events, and then they play it back to us. But it's played back to us a nanosecond after it really happens. But we think it's real. And time, you know, we live in the third dimension, which is in the fourth dimension of time. So we're really the third, fourth dimension. Space-time is what we are. And what ends up happening is that each nanosecond is a probability that exists in a higher dimension. We bring it into reality with however you want to look at it, our intentions, our thoughts, our, you know, however you want to look at it. And they stack up in front of each other like slices of bread or like slides in a slide projector. And when you look at them like, you know, a flip book, it looks like things are moving forward and that it's one timeline going in one direction. And so we think we have one life, and that one life is being played out in this one past to future time event. And what this being was saying is that that is not how it works. That in the fifth dimension, just to give you an example, and this is coming from physics. This is coming from physics, it turns out, according to my ET friends, to be true, that in the fifth dimension, any being living in the fifth dimension does not live in linear time. So to live in the fifth dimension means that you can be in as many points in time as you want, infinite number of points in time. You can be back when you were born. You can be at the end of the universe. You can be 10 years from now. You can be 5 years from now. You can be in as many different time locations as you want. You can also be in as many physical locations as you want at one time. Not only that, but you can be in any alternate timelines. And within each of those timelines, you can be in as many spaces and time and as many physical places you want to be. So this is what it's like to be a fifth dimensional being. And that's because they don't live in a concrete reality like we do. They live in probabilities. So they can jump from one probability to another, depending, and they can be doing multiple things at one time. We can't. We can only experience one probability moment, one after another. And so what he was saying to me was that your reality is not fixed. You actually are deciding every single moment from your consciousness, which is in the fifth dimension. Just to help understand this a little bit more, there have been numerous experiments where you hook up people with electrodes in their brain, and you try and find out where in the brain makes decisions, you know, pick up a pencil. And every time they do it, what they find out is that the person will pick up the pencil, for example, and the brain will then spark after they've picked up the pencil. So the assumption was that the brain makes the decision and that the decision would be slightly before the action. And they're finding that the opposite is true, that the decision is being made outside of the brain and the brain merely records it and plays it back to us. So what my friend was saying is that your consciousness is in the dimension, but in the third dimension, you identify with whatever your story is. So if your story is that you're a homeless alcoholic, you will, in the fifth dimension, create that reality and live it out. If you decide to change that story, which is why when a real ET comes to you, he will tell you or she will tell you how amazing and wonderful and powerful you are, because they're trying to give you the opportunity to completely shift your reality by changing your probabilities. And so who you are, my name is Michael Denny. I'm 59 years old. I'm right now on a tourist visa in Queensland, Australia. I went surfing yesterday. My parents this, my dad that. That is a probability story that I replay. And because I keep replaying it, I keep creating it, unless I decide to change it. And that can only come through spiritual power. And this is why meditators have always been able to change their reality. This is why you hear about, you know, any anybody who does any kind of spiritual practice that there are people who have this ability to completely change their reality. It's because they're able to tap into that probability zone in the fifth dimension, and they're able to drop their attachment to who they think they are, which is why I thought I was losing my mind, which is why it was so traumatic to me, because I was attached to, you know, and I still am to some degree, what I believe reality is. And so that is their message. But when this awakening event comes, what's going to happen is that all humans will be given a much greater opportunity to tap into that fifth dimensional probability state. It is my belief that I don't know how long it'll take, but, you know, banks are going to become a thing of the past. Governments are going to become a thing of the past. You know, of course, warfare, all of that. We will be able to, I think everybody will be able to have the kind of experience that I have now since this. I'm in constant energetic and telepathic communication with these beings. You know, I can summon them, you know, anytime. And I told you earlier that it was very important in the beginning that people do this this protocol of vectoring, because the reason for that is because your 3D mind can't comprehend what is really going on. And when you go through the vectoring process, you are giving implicit permission for these higher dimensional beings to contact you. And you know going into it, it's going to be trippy at the very least. And so you won't, if you are frightened, which you, there's no need to be, but if you are, at least you will have an understanding. But if you don't do that and they show up, it will be so shocking. It will be so strange and bizarre and frightening that it does more damage than good. And so for the first time in human history, the beings that we've always thought were angels, elves, fairies, gods, ancestors, higher selves, these are actually souls just like you and I who have incarnated in a higher dimension. Most likely they've incarnated in a body that functions better in higher dimensions, which means they may have come from a different planet. But because they live in the fifth dimension, and because they have been human, and you very likely have been an ET in another life, whoever you are, because of that, they know you, and they know you better than you know yourself. Because of that, they have the ability to be with you from the moment of your birth to the moment of your death, which is why they can bring to me, you know, deceased ancestors, family members. This is why a guardian angel is with you all the time. It's not that there's a 3D spirit guardian angel that's got nothing better to do but follow you around. No, it's a higher dimensional being that's living multiple lives and multiple existences, and you are one of them. But they can be completely connected to you. They hear all of your thoughts. So if you think that, you know, all of you, that you have these private thoughts, you don't. The whole universe is aware of them, just as if you would be aware of watching what was going on in a 2D, you know, somebody's, a two-dimensional person's house. They're aware of all of your feelings. They can see all of the possible futures for you, which is why when you ask your higher self for intuition, you always end up getting good advice, which takes you down a good path, because they're looking at all the paths that you can be in. They're in those paths with you in all the other dimensions. And so my hope is that people will expand their understanding of these beings. And I won't take up the time in this, but I talk about it in my book, Interdimensional Revolution. But there is a difference between the 3D aliens that take people, that abduct people and experiment on them, and actual extraterrestrials. And I can speak on behalf of all extraterrestrial transdimensional beings. I can tell you categorically that they never abduct. They never have, and they never will. They are you. They are your family. They are your friends. And beings on higher dimensional levels if you, you know, it's strange to hear this, but when you feel their love, it is so intense. If you were to feel the full force of their love, your physical body would simply melt. So they only give you a little bit, but it's the most intense love that you could possibly have. And on higher dimensions, it's actually impossible to have any predatory or sociopathic intent. So I just want to tell that to people if they want to reach out to ETs. These are the gods, these are the elves, these are the angels that have always been there with you. And if you want to know the difference between aliens who abduct and ETs that don't, you can, you know, watch my channel or read my books. So, I mean, there's a lot more I could say, but I know we've I've gone pretty long, so I'll allow things to wrap up here. I do have a YouTube channel, which is thunderwizard.com, thunderwizard, D-O-T-C-O-M. You can find that on YouTube. And of course, that's the website as well. And you can find my books on Amazon, Kindle, Audible, Michael William Denny. The two books are, the first one is Extraterrestrials Are Coming to Earth, is the first one. And the second one is Interdimensional Revolution by Michael William Denny. So with that, I think I'll go ahead and wrap it up. Like I said, there's a lot more I can say, but I think that's plenty for now. I hope that is something that will be enlightening and empowering to everybody who listens to this.
Wonderful, Michael. It's a lot to unwrap. To our listeners, if you want to check out Michael's YouTube channel, and I will put all the links down below in the show notes and also on the website that will accompany this episode, so you can go check it out. You know, Michael, the fifth dimension, for a start, I mean, it's a very difficult thing to comprehend, isn't it? It's a bit like when you think about how vast the universe is, you know, that alone is just mind blowing. But then when you think about the fifth dimension and so many possibilities, you know, and to be honest, I think my wife would like me to be a fifth dimensional being, to be everywhere at once. But I have problems processing just one timeline, one bit of information at one time.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't get into it, but they took me into understandings of up to the ninth dimension. And, you know, it gets pretty trippy once you get to that. But again, you know, like you said, it's enough. What I just said is enough to unpack in the beginning. So I didn't get into that. But, you know, the great thing is that we live in the universe that all little kids wish were true. And it turns out we were right. Little kids, the way they imagine the universe filled with light and love and magic, and it all turns out to be true, you know, and that's the, you know, it's a very positive message, and it's very empowering for me anyway.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the old childhood stories that we used to hear of magic and wonder, you know, that is out there. You know, it does get overshadowed with, you know, eventually becoming an adult and all that kind of stuff and restrictions that, you know, we're given in life. But the, you know, that magic and that wonder is out there.
Yeah. And if we can just allow ourselves to go back to that mindset, you know, that's, you know, lots of little kids have, you know, imaginary friends, quote unquote, and then we talk them out of that. And I wonder how many of them were actually, you know, beings, and how many of them were just imaginary friends. I'm sure there are kids that just imagined and, you know, played. And then it might have been kids who actually had connections to things that we're just now starting to see again for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I've said this on past episodes. You know, I'd say, you know, if you have children which are hearing things or speaking to things, you know, listen to them. You know, don't just discount what they say. They could actually be talking about something which is not necessarily just real for them.
Right. That's, again, I won't get into it, but I mean, there was a whole slew of things that happened when I was a kid that didn't make sense that now make total sense. And, you know, an experience I had with Sasquatch once, which that was the two most frightening experience, was my Sasquatch experience and the first time I met the mantis being. Those were the two most frightening, but the two most enlightening experiences of my life. And if I were a little kid, you know, certainly somebody would pat me on the head and say, "Ah, that's so cute." But it's a whole different experience when you happen to be a full-grown adult and you start having those experiences But, you know, I think had it not been that I'd been conditioned to be frightened of those experiences, I don't think I would have been, you know. So I agree with you. We can learn a lot from them because they're just coming back from there, you know. They're just visiting the 3D, but they, you know, they just came from 5D. So they have a little more, you know, remembrance than we do.
And one thing, you know, a lot of my listeners guests share is that, you know, they have these accounts from when they were children of things. And it could be goblin-like creatures, beings appearing around doorways. And then when they wake their parents up to tell them, you know, something has happened in my room, parent then says, you just had a nightmare. Go back to sleep, go back to sleep. Big proportion of my guests have had these experiences in very early childhood.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up in this, but there was a period of time when I was an exorcist. So I also know that those things exist. You know, lower dimensional beings also exist. You know, ghosts exist. And you know, kids can see and experience those. I can remember as a kid having those experiences and running into my parents' room and, you know, having my dad chuckle at me and turn around and go back to sleep and all of that. And, you know, our ancestors, if we go back far enough, our ancestors knew how to deal with that, you know, and it was a part of life. And I think, you know, I think children were a lot more well-rounded because of that. And just from a psychological perspective, being allowed to have all of your fears and your negative feelings and not being gaslit out of them, which is what, you know, we've done in our, you know, at least, you know, when I was a kid, that's what you did. But yeah, I agree with you.
This solar flash, you know, if this does happen, which, you know, which is something which has been talked about for a while now, you know, and it could have different names. You know, I think it probably could come under the guise of the rapture, which everyone knows. And people believe that it's, you know, their physical bodies will be rising up when, to be honest, it's more likely, yeah, more of a conscious change.
I was planning on getting into it, but as you can tell, my brain races and I sometimes have a hard time staying on one subject because so many things come to my mind. But what I didn't say was that my ET friends came to me one day after giving me this dream and after me searching this. And one of the things that I've learned with the telepathic communication is, you know, their communication is coming from a higher dimension. It gets to my 3D brain, and my 3D brain will translate it into 3D modern American English. So what I started getting this message was, we're coming for you first. We're coming for you tomorrow. I thought they were going to show up in spaceships and take me in a spaceship. And, you know, they were saying, we're taking you to the solar wave. We're coming for you tomorrow. You're going first. So I thought, oh, crap, it's coming at the end of the week. And I was telling people, watch, at the end of the week, it's going to happen. What ended up happening, you know, now in hindsight, I know what they meant. But what ended up happening was that they sure enough showed up, and there was just this huge amount of energy that was flowing through me. I mean, it was like I was on mushrooms or something. I was really, really, really stoned on some kind of crazy energy. And I went down to the beach and I started seeing the ocean had a different hue to it. The sand had consciousness. The plants had consciousness, the birds, dogs, people walking by. I could feel their souls. I had nothing but love for everything, and I was connected to everything. And that lasted for, it felt like, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And then I slowly came down. And I realized afterwards that what they were saying was, we're going to show you what it's going to be like. We're going to show you first or beforehand, whatever. Again, I only know from that experience, but I also had the ability to temper it. Like if I chose to pull myself back down to a more, you know, mundane level, I could. But then if I chose to decide to let it go up, it would expand. I really had control over the volume of it. So if that's true, then I think there's going to be a lot of people who will be sort of like, I don't know what is going on. And then there are going to be people who are going to be like totally getting it. I think the kids are going to be, you know, totally on top of it. And I think that people will have the ability to decide to allow it to happen and sort of turn the volume up. But if my experience is anything like what's coming, and I don't know if it's going to be the same or who knows what it was, I can't imagine, like I said, this is why, you know, banks are going to go away. Governments are going to go away. Armies are going to go away because there's just no need for any of that. You just have this feeling that you are everybody and everybody is you and everybody's your friend and your family member. And, you know, again, it's like a little kid's fantasy. So that was my experience. And we'll see if, in fact, that happens. We'll see whatever it's going to be.
A lot of people have been feeling there's going to be change. The world does need change 100%. And there is a direct correlation between politics and wars.
Yeah.
So this is the biggest problem at the minute. Is that. So I think, you know, if do end up shifting, I think it's going to be a big surprise for a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people out there which have kind of already intuned. You know, they're already intuned with things like this. They're intuned with the earth. They're intuned with things that are going on. A lot of people, not so much. You know, they will struggle. I think that, you know, they're too reliant on things they see and hear, just the natural things around them, as opposed to what other possibilities.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I'm still skeptical. I won't lie to you. I'm still that skeptical, down to earth guy. And what I've learned to do is, you know, I've fully embraced this experience. I still, you know, go after it. But every single communication I get, I take it face value. I've learned to do that. I don't doubt it. I take it at face value. And then I don't get attached to it. Because if I do either one of those two things, I start to lose my mind. So it's just, again, having that childlike attitude of, yeah, the ET said this is going to happen and I believe it. And then you just go on with your day as though nothing's different. So we'll see. And I'm still, there's a part of me going, we'll see. And we'll see if any of this turns out to be true. But I sure hope so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we've seen over the last few years, things have crept up on us and happened that we, you know, we probably wouldn't have expected to happen.
Mm.
But, you know, we will see. And something is on the way like that, then maybe prepare yourself. I know we were hit by a solar, I think it must have been a solar storm a couple of days ago, because we had the Aurora Borealis quite far down in the UK. I think as far as Oxford it came down.
Wow.
It was spotted in Scotland and then Northern Ireland, and then people in Oxford were taking pictures. So.
Wow, it's not, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's not often that we get the Northern Lights this far down in the south.
Well, you know, I'm sure you've heard of this, but the electromagnetic field of the Earth has been shifting a lot and is a lot weaker than it has been. And my ET friends have said unequivocally that that's one of the reasons people are having stronger connections with the supernatural, including higher dimensions. But I find that really interesting that the Northern Lights are making its way all the way down to England. That's pretty amazing. Interesting times. Hopefully the most interesting human beings I've ever experienced, I think. But certainly in my lifetime, the most interesting times we've ever had, for sure.
Yeah, it certainly is. Most interesting times indeed. Yeah, I completely agree with you there. We will see.
I do really want to get this message out to as many people as I can. So I'm really honored and really happy to have been, you know, that you allowed me to come on to your show. I appreciate it.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen between now and July.
And if it does happen between now and then, it, for the people who are now open to it and need to, you know, explanations of what they're experiencing, I think it'll be helpful. I think there'll be a need for that. There's going to be a lot of people going, what the hell just happened? What's going on? And, you know, I think it'll be helpful. So whether it happens or not, I think it's going to be helpful to people.
I think sometimes people need a little bit of help to understand what's going on sometimes, because there's certainly a lot of blind, lost souls out there, you know, just reaching, searching with their hands.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people, you know, who are comfortable and happy with the, you know, the 3D rat race. And, you know, when that changes, they're going to have to figure out a whole new way to live. So I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of people helping everybody out, you know. In any case, it was a privilege and an honor and a joy. And I'm really thrilled that you allowed me to come on. And thank you for the work that you're doing. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Michael. Michael, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
My privilege. Thank you.
Take care, Michael. Keep in contact, and I will speak to you soon.
Okay, you too.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Michael for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.